Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
Thug life.
Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
You think you got any thug in you?
Today I did the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life by accident.
What's that?
Okay. You know how on the office chairs there's that little paddle thing that you push that lets it raise and lower?
Yes.
It's got the little flat handle on it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm by my desk, and during the day I play with cards. I like have a deck of cards that I just shuffle with one hand so that I don't bite my nails so much. And I was talking to this dude, and I dropped a card. I looked down, I put my hands up. It landed face up on top of that lever on the bottom of the chair.
Nice.
Didn't fall off, didn't waver, just thump. Hit it and stuck like a fucking dart. Just thump.
And you disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Yes. Where's your God now?
Evidently, as a witch.
Nowhere to be seen. Hey, I'm Jim, he's Clarkson, we're the Film Thugs, welcome to it.
Hi there.
Do you know what I have learned this week about the government, about the world from the government shutdown, is everyone's a fucking moron.
Yes.
Everybody's a fucking moron.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
And they can't quote movie lines worth a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ifs and ands and buts are like candy and nuts. If that were the case, every day would be Christmas.
No.
If and buts was candies and nuts, we'd all have a merry Christmas.
That's how you say it.
Like, is that no? That's not what I said. I did not say that. That's the second delivery.
Meat drapes.
No.
Drapes. Why does it sound different when I say it? Oh, man.
Meat drapes.
So, I think there's one thing we need to talk about before we get into any of the other shit.
Yeah.
Did you hear apparently Katzenberg offered Vince Gilligan $75 million for three more episodes of Breaking Bad?
Before I knew how it was going to end.
Yes. Yeah. Like, wow. That's,
all right.
That's dedication. Shit. But that aside, what'd you think of it?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
It was beautiful.
It really goddamn was. It's odd. Well, it's rare that you don't that you don't walk away from a final thinking from a finale thinking, well, what about this? They didn't really do everything. Everything was nicely, smoothly taken care of.
And now a bit of blocking on an audio show.
Yes.
Just so on the
mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah. Know exactly what you're talking about.
It was delicious.
It was fucking great. It really loved it. Loved it. And apparently Badfinger had their song Baby Blue from the end had like a 38,000% increase in sales on iTunes afterwards. Just became just huge.
Excellent.
But I also found out that evidently Dexter's finale, the final episode of Dexter, was shitty because Showtime said, you are not to kill him. Showtime straight up said, Dexter is not to die in the final episode.
That's silly.
It is. It really, really fucking is.
Anyone tell Showtime, no?
Nope.
I mean, it's over now.
Mm-hmm.
So
you cannot air it or you can air this.
Huh.
The problem probably gets into how much of it do they own? How much? Like, there's all kinds of shit that plays
future
with that
projects,
too. Yeah,
what have you?
Yeah,
what a kick in the ass!
It really is. It really is. So I've got a couple of other things here to mention. So I bought, I forgot to make my lunch shake one day, so I stopped by the Randalls trying to find something, and I find they've got, oh my god, they've got a Daily Greens, this thing, Boathouse Farms, which doesn't make sense. Boathouse Farms Daily Greens. And it's like, oh, it's got this much vegetables. And it's like, cool. Grand. I drink two of them for lunch that day. Then another day I pick up some and I'm going to, you know, going to work. And I look at the back of it and it's like sugar, total of like 28 grams of sugar in one of these things.
Ching gow.
Yeah, and it's because it's basically a fucking soda, but I think it's because it's from like fruits and shit.
I see.
I'm fairly certain I've lost weight since last time I was here because like my belt is looser and stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm doing something right.
Your sugar vegetable shakes are doing their magic,
yeah,
sir.
Doing their magic. It's all sugar. So, you know, okay, I was telling you about my problem with my back, how I feel like I fucked my back up at the gym, and it must be where it happened. But Hope, my lady, is a licensed massage therapist.
Yeah.
She starts working on my back. She was like, I'll check it out. She hits right at the spot where it hurts a knot that feels about like a 6-inch Subway club.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's very
massive,
very descriptive.
Fucking just massive knot. Because it's, you know what it's like when you have a big knot in your back? If someone hits part of it, you feel the entire thing.
Sure.
I was like, holy crap, what the fuck is that? She was like, yeah, that's a massive knot. Then she worked her way up my back and she was like, your back feels like Starry Night. It's just this ocean of knots.
Right.
Then she starts working on my left shoulder. I'm like, oh, that arm doesn't hurt. That arm's fine. Oh, that's a golf ball sized knot. Didn't even notice it. Didn't even fucking notice it.
Wow.
So, yes, that was fun.
You know, my back is perfectly smooth.
Really?
Because it's all one big knot.
Oh, that just sucks. That just sucks. Bill Burr read the greatest fucking email on his show the other day. Loved it. Somebody wrote in and he was like, Bill, I want you to tell me whether or not what I did here was too far and if I'm an asshole.
All right.
So married this woman, you know, when they were young, I was out of town for something. I don't remember what it was. The guy was out of town for a few days. He goes, I came home. Locks on the house that we rented were changed.
Okay.
Knock on the door for like an hour. The cops show up. She opens the door and says, we are separated and he will not stay away from the house that I rent. And as she's saying this, a guy in his boxers comes down the stairs behind her. Now, he's like, I own a couple of pawn shops. I bought one off my parents. My parents started one. I took over it for him, and I've grown it into multiple locations.
Right.
So we're going to get divorced, and I know that she's thinking she's getting a payday. So I sell my business to my parents for $1, buy it back from them at full price, then sell it to them for $1 again. No money. Go from business owner to pawnbroker.
Nice.
And Phil was like, what she did to you with the cops showing up and all. Fuck her.
How insanely nice of a person are you to begin with? Maybe you weren't getting it done in other areas. Who knows, sir?
Yeah, yeah.
But for you to even consider yourself to be an asshole
after
that happened. Uh-huh. And it, personally, because I wouldn't have reacted that way.
Mm-hmm.
A brilliant move.
Yeah, it really
I would have
was.
Gone for something not very smart.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
Really brilliant move. And
hurrah.
Yeah, he was like, I told her we could try and work it out for 3 months while I did all of this. And it's like,
oh, that's good.
It might seem a little like, dude, that's not cool. But
no,
she called
whatever.
The fucking cops on you at your own house.
Yeah.
She didn't say, hey, maybe this isn't working out, maybe blah, blah, blah.
Dumb fucking move on her part.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Enjoy your new dong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. So I decided to go to AT&T and get the new iPhone yesterday. I go in, and the lady goes through this explanation where she says, well, there's two ways you can do it. You can either buy it and get your, you know, two-year discount upgrade thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've got this other plan that lets you get a new phone every year.
Yeah.
What it is, you pay $30-something dollars a month. And then in 12 months, if a new iPhone comes out, you can come in and swap it out for the other one. And she goes, doing that ends up costing you like $8 more. I'm like, okay. You know, I'll do that. Sure. Because when I say that, it sounds as though at the end of that 12 months, if you don't swap the phone out, you own the phone, right?
Right.
Is that how that sounds to you?
Yes, but there's some caveat emptor going on here.
Yes. I get the bill. Sent email to me, and I look at it, and it says, amount finance, $750.
Hey!
And I was like, what the fuck? I called AT&T livid.
Sure.
And they were like, well, no, what that is, you're financing it for 20 months, and, you know, you can trade it in at any point. I was like, so basically, I'm leasing the phone, and this is the first time that the word 20 has been uttered to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I went back to the store and I said, I want to cancel the order. The woman wasn't there. And the guy was like, yeah, didn't she tell you that once the order is placed, we can't cancel it?
Yeah, of course not.
So I was like, this is bullshit. You people need to be fucking clear. Call AT&T back to try and cancel it. They can't do it.
Right.
They straight can't do it. So I've cooled off a little bit by that point. So here's what I'm going to do. My phone's being delivered to the store because if it's delivered to my place, there's a chance that I might not be able to get it for another couple of days just because of all this bullshit. So I'm having to go to the store so that I can pick it up. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to say, okay, I don't want to do the financing. I want to purchase it. I don't want the contract thing that we set up. I want to straight up purchase this at the $400 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if they say, well, we really can't do that because of this, I'll look right at them, pick the phone up and say, I bought this, right? You go, yeah, I can return it. Yeah. I'll rip the plastic off of it, open it, take the phone out, remove the protective plastic, set it down on the counter and say, I want to return this.
Well, yeah.
Now you can't sell it as new anymore.
No.
And if they say, well, yeah, we can do that. It's like, yeah, I don't want that phone. That's not new. And if they give me any static, I'll say, cancel everything. I'm going to go to Sprint.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean,
get fucked.
Granted, it was something that I think she thought she implied. But she didn't. That is something that you say, but if you don't.
Yeah, it's hard to spin 24 down to 20.
Yeah, 20 down to 12.
Even more so. Yeah.
I know. I was livid. And there was actually a guy from AT&T that I talked to on the phone who saved me for them as a customer. I don't remember his name, but he was like, look, I understand you're upset. I'm going to do my darndest to get this worked out for you. Went through all this stuff, and he's like, here's what you can do. And he was like, I hope this helps some. And I go, you know, I need to tell you right now, I apologize to you because I was angry and I called. And I know it wasn't your fault. You have really taken care of me, and I want to thank you personally for that. You did your job beautifully, and I want you to know that I appreciate it. And I mean, it genuinely caught this guy off guard. He's like,
I can imagine.
Thank you for that. And I was like, look, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
I cannot blame you for this, but I'm fucking livid, and there is a chance I'm going to jump to a different company over it. And I don't think I'm being a dick for doing that.
No. Yeah. And apparently the Sprint network is quite good.
Yes. Yes.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't know because I have AT&T as well. But I also don't pay for my phone.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Whatevs.
Exactly. So I'm just going to walk in. I'm going to say, here's what I want. And if I don't get it, I'm leaving.
I am cursed with this fucking BlackBerry, though.
Yeah. Ugh. Blackberries suck, don't they?
You motherfucker. I fell in love with the keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then in the meantime, I learned how to type just fine on this iPhone.
Exactly.
And what man would want you now?
Exactly. It's like once you get used to like going with Amazon, buying shit through Amazon and streaming it, it's like, why do I want to have a disc? Now it's like, why do we need to have this keyboard when this is just, it's magic.
I can do it just
everything's
fine.
There and it's wonderful. And it's calling to you and it's reassuring you. And
oh, motherfucker.
Barbaric! Yeah.
So last night on Parks and Rec, they did the Eagleton doppelgangers. There's this other city that's right next to Pawnee called Eagleton. It financially collapsed and had to be absorbed. And the Parks and Rec department met their counterparts from Eagleton. Ron Swanson's, played by Sam Elliott.
Of course.
Who's fucking great because it's like, well, I really enjoy the outdoors. I'm very much into conservation and blah. Of course, I'm a vegan. And all of a sudden, you just see Ron like, what is that on your feet? Oh, those are my sandals. I don't believe a man's feet should be in cages. Just fucking staring daggers. But they did an interview with Sam Elliott on The Onion, and it was like, oh, it was great being on the show. All that is like, I'd love to grab dinner with him, and you know, wouldn't it be awesome to have you guys have dinner? And they were like, we called Nick Offerman to get his response to having dinner with Sam Elliott, and he said, well, my God, I will build a truck, then I will drive the truck to ferry him to dinner at the table of his choosing. I would walk a very long mile to share a sleeve of saltines with Sam, let alone a plate of steak. That is the fucking greatest. I would walk a very long mile to share a sleeve of saltines with him.
Man.
Let alone his. That
riding
is so
rewriting. What do you think? 2-3 passes? I'm going to go as far as 4.
Honestly, I've heard Offerman talk on enough interviews. That might even be 1. Because that's the way that dude talks.
Sleeve of saltines.
Yeah.
Sleeve of saltines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's got to be at least 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's a witty fuck. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But unlike me, because I could only say fuck.
Yeah. I would walk a very long mile to share a sleeve of fuck with Sam.
There you go. A fuck sleeve.
That just sounds awful.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
like a potty.
Let that word resound.
What the fuck? Oh my god.
Free show.
What the fuck? That was amazing, but wow. Jesus. Jeezy Pete's, sir. Oh god. Yeah, so for some reason, do you have any of your notes or things? I know you had a trying week and a half here.
Yeah. Sorry we missed a show last week. Any longtime listeners of the show will remember that though I was born this way, my cousin Jeanette kicked off my whole horror obsession and what have you by scarring me at a very young age.
Yeah.
Her mother, my Aunt Carolyn, died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last week. And it was fucking awful because she was like another mother to me.
Right.
So that happened.
Yeah.
And that was bad. And a light has gone out.
Yeah.
In my life. But she was a beautiful soul.
Nice.
A beautiful soul. With a crazy daughter.
Right on.
Who's also a beautiful soul. Yeah.
When you sent me the text about not being able to do the show, I almost replied. It's like, dude, a family member died. Who gives a shit about the show?
Me.
I do. I expect your ass to be there on Friday. But, you know, I expect your gold brickin' ass to be there on Friday. But
that's right.
I decided that would be implied in anything I sent you. So, all is well. Yeah, that's one of those bolt from the blue shaky things. And I was like, fuck it. We just pushed the show. Who cares, man? It's, you know, folks will forgive. It's all good.
So,
well, not all good, but it's you know,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. Not that you're anti, you know, that missing a show is fine. That's what the all
that's what we're saying. It's fine. It's fine.
It's all good. Wait, no, that sounds terrible. I'm not saying that. I'm just gonna stop now, and the rest of the show is just gonna be awkward silence.
Yes.
Stop looking at me like that.
Barbaric.
Oh, and you did the sad one.
I did. It is the sad one.
You're doing the droopy puppy dog eyes.
Hear me.
Look at Clarkson with the puppy dog eyes.
We wouldn't want him to do his job.
That sketch is so fucking great.
I need that.
Yeah. I think, is The State on Netflix streaming?
Yes, it is. I need the drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, once we hook up with a more permanent location, I'm going to bust out that iPad and just have like an entire page of The State, an entire page of, you know, just full pages of just single reference.
I need a whole page of McConaughey. I'm a kind of page, if you will. I looked high and fucking low for the bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It's just not
to be found.
He's had it expunged from the interwebs.
Yeah, he's somehow got that program that just redacts
all that's gone. All you find is just pages. And pages and pages of him saying he's pissed.
Yeah.
And then sad for him over and over. It's all post-scandal, no pre-scandal.
Oh.
There's one thing where they're biking together.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It's nice. Oh, man.
So far away from that page.
It's just the best goddamn quote. I remember when they found it on Dudley and Bob, and just every day that week.
It was great.
Just play the whole fucking thing. Just do it.
But in the failing light, they can't focus. Magic owl. Have you little soiree.
Personally, you disgust me.
Personally, you disgust me.
Yolanda!
I just love that at the end of every time McConaughey speaks. When he stops, I expect Dr. Murray. Don't know why.
Alan! It really is.
Yolanda!
Oh, man. That's how you do it.
I may now stay in great shape. Red wine. Red wine. Red wine. Drink as much as you want. Red wine. You can't drink as much as you want. Steak. What, you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
It's sugar water with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Red wine.
Dry red wine.
Yeah, red wine
better.
And a billion goddamn crunches.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Mm-hmm. Sonic ice.
Sonic ice with red wine.
I call it a it's a wine smoothie.
It's a wine smoothie.
I call it a Lance.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
I drink it deep.
I love to get full up on it and go to sleep.
Meat drapes.
Wow. So yeah, I sent you a thing like when hey, why don't we do something about vanity projects?
Yes.
I don't know where that idea came from.
I don't know either, but we ran with it.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Is that the first idea? Yes.
Yes, we'll do that. Okay. It's basically okay. Here's the notes that I wrote. My criteria for it. It's more about the filmmaker or the star than the film itself.
Oh yes.
It wouldn't have a snowball's chance if it weren't for the star attached to it. Not necessarily trying to do something new, but not always what you think, and not always what you think it is. You know, it's not always some gratuitous thing. I actually go to Sullivan's Travels for that, where it's like, you know, poor people don't need to be told what it's like to be poor. They're quite aware of it. So yes, your movie to show their plight is going to seem more condescending to them than anything. So let's fucking knock it out. But I've got some with some couples, some with some musicians, and then just movies.
All right.
In general. So
I have a general hodgepodge.
Yeah, same here. Mine's just a big lump of everything. I really think when we're talking like vanity oftentimes fits in with like the pet project. We've talked about it before, but Hudson Hawk.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. That's one that I fucking, it's, there are certain movies you shouldn't revisit. There are certain things, you know, you can't go home again. It's the, what I felt like in rewatching it recently with Hope was from High Fidelity, going with when he hooks up with Lily Taylor again in present time. He's like, I could have slept with her, but I wouldn't have been
six back there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have been sleeping with her.
Right,
and sleeping with this whole sad. That is what going back to Hudson Hawk was like.
It's
like,
dear God,
it's this thing that I loved so much, and I thought it was great. You know, totally understanding that it wasn't very good, but I loved it. And then I watched it again with Hope, and I was like, oh no. Oh my God.
Oh my.
We could finish this movie, but we wouldn't be finishing this movie. We'd be finishing this whole sad culture. And you know what? Mic drop, walk away. Let it die. Let it be.
I'm
what
afraid
it was.
To revisit certain films like that. Like I'm afraid to revisit Ford Fairlane. Which is pretty much a vanity project.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Although as far as vanity projects go. I think pretty good.
See, I saw
fun. Excuse me.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw it for the first time like last year, and it was fun. It was goofy. But the thing is, I think that if I were to watch it now with I loved it so much when I was younger, that might take a little bit of it away.
Yeah, because my friends and I in high school really liked this movie.
Right,
we watched it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid that revisiting it would only bring suffering.
Yes, yes. Therein lies madness. Because that shit, it seriously can just blind the hell out of you with what?
Yeah.
That was funny, and now it's not. And what? No, I'm.
A lot of horror movies have that same kind of
grown up. What
hang
the
up.
Shit is happening here?
Yeah, like Warlock or Warlock 2,
dude,
or Warlock 3. And I was about Warlock. I was about it.
What has two thumbs and the first man? The preview for Warlock came on at the movies. Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that probably made it to an envelope somewhere.
Oh, probably. All about it. And it does not hold up.
Yeah.
Unlike like Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Which is fucking excellent.
Never seen it.
Speaking of which, for the horror fans out there, since we're close to Halloween.
Yes.
If you're really into Hellraiser, apparently a lot of people really are. More than I even thought possible.
Right.
There are podcasts about it. I ran across one called The Hellraiser Podcast with two chaps from the UK.
Oh, man.
It is the most polite podcast I've ever heard.
That is awesome.
I'm transfixed by it, in fact. I've listened to like 15 episodes or what forever. This week.
Yeah.
They're so polite. I mean, yeah, Hellraiser 1 and 2 really can't be fucked with.
Right.
But
right.
As the series goes along, they get progressively just questionable. See, even the flight is wearing off.
Questionable.
Me. It's just not up to snuff.
Right.
But even they're like, well, this is some pretty smart part there. I thought the acting was workmanlike there. So polite.
God,
it's ridiculous
damn.
How polite it is. Anyway, yeah. It's a very good show.
Yeah.
Hellraiser nice. Podcast.
Well, so. All right. That might be worth the checkout now.
Anyway.
That. It's fucking
very
great.
Polite. So unlike us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
just rambly asshole.
Rambly assholes that swear too much.
Yeah. Speaking of rambly assholes who swear too much, Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet.
Oh, fuck. I forgot all about that thing.
Yeah.
Shaka Zulu. That's a rough one.
Here's the thing about that. It's one that, on a surface level, I admire in concept. You know, fucking unabridged Shakespeare. Yes, so. Shit, yeah. That'll be awesome. Getting a bunch of people. Like, apparently, Heston used to, like, not give people shit, but like talk to young actors like, so do you do stage? Have you done any Shakespeare on stage? Oh, no, I haven't. It's like, well, you're not really an actor if you haven't done Shakespeare on stage. I mean, it's very like old school mentality of it. And so the fact that, you know, you've got Branagh pulling everyone in and trying to balance it out and make it. I will say Billy Crystal as the Gravedigger, not bad.
Well, you know. My theory with Crystal, just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bit. You hit him in just the right spot. And that was the right part for him. It's the Jables effect, the Jack Black effect, in the right setting. And it was the first time that I ever really got, oh, that's what makes the Gravedigger comic relief, you know, going through the whole, well, unless you can prove that she drowned herself because the lake was attacking her. okay, that's fucking rad. I love that. But yeah, the rest of it just.
It is so.
Lacking.
It looks great.
It really. Oh yes, it does.
It looks really good. But then there are choices that. I mean, what the fuck do I know? But
odd
that
choices.
Mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because man, I gotta tell you, I keep focusing on that mustache.
It is a bit odd. Here's the thing that's weird with Branagh is. He was, like, on Inside the Actors Studio, I remember when they actually interviewed actors, he was on there, and I think it was on that, where Lipton said, your audition for the Royal Shakespeare Company has been called the most perfect, the most technically perfect Shakespeare performance ever in the Royal Shakespeare Company.
It's quite a statement.
Yeah. And I mean, not like by folk on the inside, but it was like that. Because the guy knows Shakespeare. And I'm willing to bet stage where he's able to just do it. Like, imagine Branagh as Hamlet at the Globe. Shit, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is with this, at the time he made it, he was too old to play Hamlet.
That's a big part, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Mel Gibson suffered from that as well when he played Hamlet.
Yeah, I was going to go with that, too, because that Hamlet was also a... That was a bit of a vanity project. Although I do credit him because he did, like, they had all of these things of him going into schools and running English. And I thought that was awesome because it was, here's an attempt to genuinely try and connect Shakespeare to kids. And I think that's awesome.
It was like that thing I watched in school forever and ever, a billion times, of McKellen on Shakespeare, on acting Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know. Shakespearean and acty.
Yes.
So I bring McKellen. So it's kind of on a different level.
Right.
And I like that Mel Gibson did that and kind of brought it down to more, I don't want to, not stupid by any means.
Right.
Just more
accessible.
Accessible and everyday.
Yeah. People.
How it can apply, how these characters apply to your life.
Well, because people forget that Shakespeare. Was at the time it started not high art.
No. It was popular theater.
Yeah, it was popular theater.
Popular entertainment.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And so people forget that because we have this very highfalutin, and it's like, no, that like the groundlings, that fucking penny to get in, which I actually did this whole thing where I calculated shit with $5 in today's money.
Yeah.
To get into a show, $5 for, and they expected goddamn 5 hours of entertainment for
it. That's right.
And you got to realize you were dealing with illiterate people who work their asses off, spending the small amount of money that they have to go stand for 5 hours and be entertained. You're not going to go over on them with just high.
No.
I swear. By day off, I swear.
Where is that? It's in here somewhere.
Yes. But no, rule before nightfall of cheer.
Hey, Mark, I didn't know why you were coming at me for me. Poor those, you get over the door, listen here. You know, the rain, by full nightfall of cheer. I swear, by day I forswear.
I love the slight Welsh that he's putting on there just to get the Richard Burton right. But yeah, it was meant to be a real, you know, kind of rowdy. Like it meant to entertain.
It's a rowdy goddamn time.
Yeah, and yet because we don't get a lot of the linguistics of it, we don't. I remember the Shakespeare professor I had in college who explained that Bianca's name is an anal sex joke.
Right.
In Taming of the Shrew. Like, wow, I did not. But the way archery was popular, the bullseye was white, and it was called the Bianca, and that was put on the butt. So the target, like,
the whole thing with
holy crap.
The porter and Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
Who's basically talking about how alcohol will make your dick limp. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Also, Shakespeare, A Winter's Tale has the greatest stage direction in the history of drama. Exit. Pursued by a bear. And what's funny is they're like, evidently that was not some, there was a bear baiting pit. A bear baiting pit. Just like down the street. So there is a possibility they had a fucking bear that on stage. Happen. Yeah, there's a very real possibility they had a bear on stage. So yeah, but like the Gibson one, it's weird because his Hamlet really felt more like this labor of, I want to fucking do this and I want to bring it out. And so it is very much a vanity project, but I think it is a vanity project done for the most correct reason to do a vanity. Because he came out with that, no, and this isn't going to make a lot of money.
No.
It's not going to. It's fucking Hamlet. It's not going to make a lot of money. So I'm going to put it out there and just because I really want to. And I like that. I like that.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah. Just.
But it certainly wasn't awful.
It wasn't Ethan Hawke's, which I still haven't seen because it looked terrible.
If you can find the stage version of Kevin Kline's Hamlet,
which is I've seen off of your recommendation. Woo! It is available through Netflix on a disc, really? At least on disc. Yeah,
that is fucking excellent.
Yeah, Kevin Kline's got that kid. That kid's got a future. Yes. He's got that. Korea's got legs, baby.
Sure hope he marries someone beautiful.
Yeah. I sure hope he marries every guy our age's first masturbatory fantasy.
Oh, Shelley Duvall?
No. Yeah. Good for you. Shelley Winters. No. But here's the thing. There's also, where does Passion of the Christ fall in this? Is that a vanity or is that just a passion project? I still haven't seen it, so.
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay.
That I don't doubt Mel Gibson's devotion to the project the passion he put into it.
Right.
I think a bit of the, well, if you're not going to finance it, I will.
Yeah.
And let me tell the whole world what I'm doing about it. That kind of makes it a bit much.
Right.
But it is so goddamn much. That it's flirting with that vanity project stuff.
Right, right.
It is a very well-made film.
Uh-huh.
Not something that you want to just pop on and have a looky-loo.
Right.
To spend an evening.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as someone saying, I need to put an actual passion play from the Middle Ages... I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This thing was, only thing it was missing was a hellmouth.
Right, right.
Because we were right there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as passion plays.
Because people forget that the original passion play, it's fucking horrifying.
It's a horror movie. Yeah. It's the original horror films.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From the Middle Ages. Yeah. That was some scary shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And parts of that film were no exception.
Well, and it was scary by middle age standards.
It's scary by any goddamn standards.
Which to me makes it even worse. The fact that it's scary by middle age standards. Like, fuck. You lived through plagues and fucking realistic.
Yeah.
You had walls on your city because you didn't want to be raped to death by marauding
bands of marauders.
Yeah. It just totally got away from me there. I could feel it spinning out. And I'm like,
that happens to me all the time. Welcome to my world, Jim.
Bands. Of assholes. That's what they are. Barbarians and foreigners. That's what I meant.
Fucking Kennedys.
Cantor, cantalor, a real Torah petra, petra, retza, greta, calendar, salisco.
I will burn your village to the ground.
Jalisco, Jalisco.
to 10 days to Nubia. Great Guadalajara.
Thank you, Satan.
You're welcome.
But I will, I never saw it just because I was like, okay, whatever. Because that's me, evidently. I'm just like, oh, that sounds like it's work. I want to deal with that.
It's a bit of work.
Yeah.
It's a bit of work.
Some effort to it.
I don't know so much if that's a straight-up vanity project as so much as Swept Away.
Oh, God.
It's a that's vanity on project and a half.
I have Swept Away / all Madonna movies.
Pretty much.
But Swept Away is far and fucking away the most baffling of those. Have you watched it?
Oh, my.
It is fucking horrible.
Oh, my.
It's jarring how bad it is.
It's a lot like that Bill Burr bit that Rogan goes on and on about with Chuck Berry and John Lennon.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
And
for those who don't know, there is footage of John Lennon and Chuck Berry playing. I forget what song it was.
I think it's Johnny Be Good.
No, it wasn't Johnny Be Good. It was another one, but it was this song where they're just fucking rocking out. Yeah. And it is, it's Chuck Berry. If there was anyone that's going to make John Lennon... And John Lennon's up there. And they're playing their jam and they're having a great time. And out of nowhere, Yoko Ono steps up to the microphone and goes, yeah. And just... Wah! Like into the microphone. It's fucking horrible. And Chuck Berry gives this look over like, motherfucker,
you need to do something with your woman.
Yep.
But he knows he's not gonna.
Yeah.
All in that one. Mm-hmm. Look up the Bill Burr bit. Yeah. It's fucking hilarious.
Then a second later, they do it again, and the rest of the band doesn't even register. It's like when Springsteen's ex-wife used to go over and sing on the microphone with him during a show, and everyone else on stage is like, God damn it, Bruce. God damn it.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah, where it's like...
Where you spend the whole time... trying to look out of frame to find Guy Ritchie and go, man.
See Guy Ritchie over there I imagine really? Guy Ritchie directed this one like Gus Van Sant in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back, where he's sitting there counting money. I'm busy, Matt.
Yes.
Do whatever you'd like, Ben. I'm busy.
Right.
It's on every level it fails. I am hungry. Make me food. Oh, master, can I have food too? Like, what
the hell's going on here?
Fuck is going on with this? And then at the end, it is like the epitome of Stockholm Syndrome, because at the end it's like, no, we're really in love. Like,
oh, I don't care.
He sexually dominates you at a place where you have no assistance. What the fuck is this?
I'm sure you think this is quite erudite, but it's what we call down here in the cheap seats, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one that I watched for the aborted... Guy Ritchie show, and it's it was just stunning how horrible it was.
It's not good at all.
Yeah, like, why in the fuck did this happen?
Being very negative.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Peter and Phil from the Hellraiser podcast would not
Would not do this.
They're like, well, we're a bit hard on that.
Yes.
A bit hard. A bit negative. Sorry to be so negative. What? Charming gentleman.
Yes.
We would never say that. We would say, that film is a piece of fucking garbage.
Yes, yes. Everyone involved.
I was shot out of a hole.
Everyone involved should have their card pulled for at least 1 year.
Oh, my.
Yes, you're not allowed to make a film for another year.
No, not good.
Much like, I've got so many things here that I'm looking at. Holy shit, this is great. I even have musicians set off separately. I'm going to go ahead and just double down on here. What is a bigger vanity project, On Deadly Ground or all of Steven Seagal's albums?
Oh, On Deadly Ground.
How fucking weird is it to say that's the one that
wins? That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Because with the music, you know, that's relatively niche.
Right.
And people have to fucking look for that.
Right.
But there are a few of his movies that cast a pretty wide net and got people in.
Right.
So... you have the expectation that maybe this will be a pretty good Steven Seagal movie this time.
Yeah,
yeah. Ah, son of a bitch.
See?
You got me.
It's one that I've only seen parts of.
Oh,
because it doesn't look like something that I would enjoy at all. I saw it. I was like, oh, shit. The IMDb page. I was looking up to see what his character's name was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Taft. by the way.
Forrest. His name is not Forrest.
Forrest Taft.
Get the fuck
yeah. out. And here is the one sentence plot description of On Deadly Ground from IMDb. Mystical martial artist / environmental agent takes on a ruthless oil corporation. It literally says mystical martial artist. Mystical. Not Mr. Kill, but mystical.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah. No. My name is Mr. Kill.
Mystical.
I don't remember what movie it's in, but I still, whenever my students, we talk about really awful lines in movies, the ones that I always quote is, you can take that to the bank. I'll take you to the bank. The blood bank. The only thing that I've ever laughed harder at was telling my students about this script that once I read that had like the worst, like the scene that was supposed to be really dramatic where a child drowns.
Good Lord.
And I'm laughing my ass off because the way it was written was so bad. I can't talk about it on the show because I've got a confidentiality thing with them, but hold on. And we're back. We're back. I'm sorry. It paused and told Clarkson what it was.
You fucking deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
God that. Damn. What I drew on the board. Yeah.
I tell my students that story and I genuinely laugh my ass off about it. Oof. And they're like, "That you're terrible. It's a kid." And then I tell them the story and they're like, "Holy crap, that's hilarious." If you know me well enough to know my phone number, you can call me personally and ask for that story and I'll tell you. But if you don't know me well enough to know my phone number, no.
Yeah. Imagine the let's say for this instance, 8 to 9 beer into an evening where they break that out to their friends.
Yes.
He does this on the board. Huh? What?
And
everyone looks at the ground and does the Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm. But he's drunk enough to read that, you know, they didn't say anything.
So it must be awesome.
Fucking love it.
I depressed them all. Look at them. All their heads are down.
Stunned to silence.
Asked for lunch.
Yeah.
Fucking got it.
Ask for lunch.
Ask for lunch.
# ask for lunch.
Yeah. Hey, I know Phil. I know what he did. I know him. I met him.
You did.
Did.
You did.
He looked at me very nervously.
Yeah. Because we are a terrifying couple of people to walk up to you and say, we want to interview
record
you.
Record this.
We're going to do this. Oh, I'm going to get an interview with Blaine Weaver. He's going to be in for a movie that he's got at the film festival this year. So I know
what film is this?
It is called The Favor, and it's basically it is the, you know, friends help you move, best friends help you move bodies.
Oh.
It's that kind of idea. So there is going to be some interview afterwards. So beautiful. I know I at least have one interview lined up. So.
Excellent,
huzzah! Who knows what's going to happen? I'm still having to decide. I don't know. I have to check in for this barbecue competition 50 miles northeast of Waco. I have to check into it by like before 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Vince Gilligan's thing is done at 10:30.
Okay.
It's one where I can just about make actually like 12:30, like to where I would literally be arriving at the deadline. So I'm going to think on it and let them know. I'm going to call them on Monday and say, hey, here's the situation. Will I be able to do this? Or
you'll be able to gauge it with those last couple of questions.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. That'd be the thing. How long is it going to be? Maybe bug out 15 minutes prior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because someone's going to say, how do you write?
Why didn't you make a woman the hero?
Hi, I have a film here as well at the festival, and I would like to talk about me. And what I'm doing.
Yes.
I have a question. Do you know what I'm doing? Because I'm doing things here.
I still damn near verbatim remember the worst question that I've ever heard in my life. Hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. I've got the Ann Richards documentary playing at this festival this year. And I think that she was just so heroic the way that she stood up to Karl Rove and his whole machine, which, by the way, wasn't a machine when they went against him. That was the first campaign he'd ever run. But neither here nor there, the way she stood up to that. And what I was wondering, do you think women, what was the exact wording on it? Do you think women can be as good, as heroic as men?
Oh, yeah, the look on that lady's
face. She was like,
what?
What? And when I talked to her in the bar
later at the bar, I was just like, "What the fuck was he talking
about?" I don't know what he was talking about. Goes, what he was talking about was, "I want to talk about my project," and I said, "I want to take my hat off to you because you handled that as gracefully as possible." And she was like, "Thank you so much." And I gave her my card. She was like, "Film Thugs, I like that." I go, "Fucking hats off to you, lady. You fucking juggled that shit brilliantly.
That was well done."
Instead of going, "Wait, no, hold on.
Wait a minute. Are you saying women can't be as heroic as men?
Are you some kind of retard?" Because that's what you just sounded like.
Woo, that is rough.
Yeah,
that
and just the expression on her face was genuinely a, what the f***?
Being retarded is still not a handicap.
I think I ranted about that all the way to another screening.
I think so, yeah. Because we walked out
and
of there just...
you were saying, yes, man, I know.
Yeah,
I know,
right.
Stop
you're
saying
correct.
It.
Yeah.
I got it.
You are correct, sir. Fucking shit, man.
Anyway.
Terrible. Ooh, The Conqueror.
Yeah, let's have a twofer.
Yeah.
The Conqueror / The Alamo.
Yes, both. Because Davy Crockett, him playing Davy Crockett, wow.
Yes.
Because talk about too old to play a character.
A bit.
A bit too old to play a character. And talk about a bit not Asian enough to play a character.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
At all, ever. I finally get to use this.
Yes.
Something that actually makes sense. It's relevant.
Danvers Kennedy.
Watching clips of that is fucking great because he is not an attempt at an accent.
No.
Just the John Wayne drawl, but speaking in the most fucking Mr. Moto broken English imaginable.
Danvers Kennedy.
He's literally a step away from Tonto Tarzan. It's Tonto Tarzan and Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He's a step away from that. Sit. Have food with Timogen. That's fucking spot on John Wayne right there. Yes.
Yes, dog.
So.
Why aren't you afraid
so scary.
As you normally are? This dog's
the Alamo.
All over me.
I don't know about that.
There's one little sticking point of accuracy that bothers me with the Alamo all the time. That
they
people,
won?
Yeah.
No.
That is never portrayed properly. You know the front of the Alamo? Mm. That was inside the fort.
Yes.
That was entirely inside the fort. The back wall of that was the back wall of the fort.
Yes.
So.
But that's the money shot, baby.
Yeah, that is. It's what everyone wants to see is that.
Got to have that.
But yeah, that growing and also they don't have the fucking the goddamn Pizza Hut or the Wax Museum across the street from it.
No.
And so, it's so funny. Going to the Alamo for the first time is the most anticlimactic experience ever because it looks in all the pictures like it is in the middle of nowhere. And it is in the beating fucking heart
of everything.
My
advice is to go across the way to the Crockett bar. That's Crockett.
The Menger.
There you go.
Yeah, that's where.
And just have yourself. It rhymes.
Yeah, that's
close.
True.
And just watch it from afar.
Mm-hmm. That place is where Teddy Roosevelt signed up the first group of Rough Riders. Mm-hmm. Was at the bar. Now, granted, they're proud of their beer because it's a fucking touristy bar in the middle of the tourist section of the touristy town in the state.
Yeah, but
it's fucking awesome. It really is. It's so cool. Very small, very awesome.
I just love hotel bars. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. Hey, what's not to love about a hotel bar?
It's fantastic.
I said that as though there was some point to it. What's not to love about a hotel bar?
Not a thing.
Hey. other than it being in a hotel. But, yeah, the Alamo is one that just always sort of misses. They've never really captured it just because
they just keep missing. They get farther and farther away.
It's a siege that ended in a slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's
there's just no way to make that cheerier.
No, there isn't.
Sunnier.
I mean, because Goliad, that's the one that we really remember here in Texas, because that's the one where we fucking did, like, the whole remember the Alamo. I'm going to give you guys context, because a lot of people don't know what that means.
Unless you're Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And then you know all about this.
Right on. Yeah, apparently, yeah, you're right. Phil Collins is just a fucking
big nut for
wizard on the Alamo.
Yeah, he loves it.
But the phrase, remember the Alamo, was said by, who was it that said it? No was idea. It Travis? Or no, Travis died. Was Travis at the Alamo?
I was born in Iowa. I don't know.
You didn't take the Texas history class in seventh grade?
No, not that I was born here. generations reaching back.
Yeah.
No,
I you are more Texan than I am. Like, seriously, your family has been in Texas so long. Yep. Yes. You're almost Mexican.
Just keep rubbing it in that yeah. I don't remember who said that.
Right. But
I don't have to remember who said that. That's true. I'm from Texas.
Yeah, that's true. It might have been Travis. And I'm, of course, I'm sitting with a fucking iPhone next to me that I could look it up on. But remember, the Alamo was said before the Battle of Goliad because not only was every man at the Alamo killed, but they were it was a fucking slaughter to the point that it was like they took the bodies out. The bodies were fucking slashed up after death. I mean, it was fucking nightmarish.
Was it Goliad or San Jacinto?
San Jacinto, I think Goliad. I'm going to pull it up here because I want to, part of the Texas Revolution. No, I want to find the fucking statement of remember the Alamo. But part of me believes it was for the Texas Revolution that it was, hold on. Sorry, we're just going to bore the shit out of you while we look stuff up here.
Just pause.
We're going to pause here. Okay, so you're right. It was Sam Houston said it at the Battle of San Jacinto, which ended the Texas Revolution. But it was basically a remember what these fuckers did to us.
Yeah.
That's really what that was.
Yeah,
so.
That's what happened.
Yeah. But yeah, the Alamo, it's beautiful. The area around it's beautiful, but it is
dead nuts in the middle of everything.
Quite literally. I mean, the hotel that Hope and I stayed in right on the Riverwalk, you opened the door and walked like a block in a straight line and right there it was. Yeah. We were driving around downtown and I played the trick on her that this is a great one. If you know you're going to be passing by a really cool historical structure, what you do is on the other side of the car, my tour guide in Paris did this. We turned a corner and she's like, oh, on this building over here, count to the 36th window in. I'm like, 30s. Okay, we all counted like there. And she goes, nothing happened there at all, but look behind you. And we turned around and the fucking Eiffel Tower is just dead in front of us. I did that to Hope, where she turned and boom, there's the Alamo. So that was pretty fucking cool. It's a good way of doing things. Yes. So... honestly, the more I look through this, it kept popping up on lists. Motherfucking battlefield Earth.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
This may be the definition of a vanity project.
That thing. Well, I think it is the hyper definition of a vanity project because it's been. Travolta was trying to push it through so long that he started out playing the Peppa part in it. Ooh. He was literally trying to get this shit going like for 10 years.
Dear Lord.
It's one of those movies. I still remember the first time I saw it because it was so bad that it tricked me. That it stunned me. It's like Ritalin. You know, you've got a kid who's really hyperactive, so you give him speed and it somehow shuts him down.
Open hand slapped you like John Stossel.
Exactly. Yeah. I it was like Mission Impossible 2. I walked out going, I had to have liked it. Because the only other possible explanation is it is that bad.
It had to be good.
Can't be that bad.
I wouldn't pay for that.
Yeah. And I mean, to think it was only half of the turgid, unreadable novel. I don't get it.
Turgid.
Yeah.
A good word.
It really. Yeah. Yeah.
Apt.
Apt. I like that.
Very apt.
Whereas, as some folks might say, I think that film might have missed the mark a little bit. We should do a polite show.
We used to.
Yeah, we used. Yeah, we did.
When we were criticized for using too many swear words.
Yes, too many swears. We did swear. Well, in fairness, we did swear a lot.
What the fuck are you talking?
I mean, I sweared a lot.
Fuck you, swear. You fucking fuckers.
Oh, man, that was awesome back in the days. Oh, man.
Yeah, a very polite show.
Yes, yes. Does Grindhouse count as a vanity project?
I saw this.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The thing is, I still think that they could...
It's more of someone that let these two kids just play way too much money.
Here's what gets me, is when that came out, all of a sudden everyone's throwing Grindhouse around like it's a term everyone knew.
Oh, yeah.
I knew film well. The first time I ever heard Grindhouse was in connection to this movie.
I always thought it was just like 70s film.
Yeah?
I mean... 70s cult or underground. Right, right. There was about 8 different definitions that were under the umbrella here. The
right.
Grindhouse, not at once did I hear that term.
Mm-hmm.
Until this film.
Yeah. But. I think that my way of doing it would fucking rule. If it's they did the it as a competition, you have now $2 million and 30 days to turn the project in.
I like the million.
Yeah, $1 million. Yeah, if you did it just as $1 million, everyone who's involved is like, will you do it for $100 a day?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, and you're just doing it for fun.
And here's the clincher of your idea.
Yeah.
It's a continuous project that goes on and on, and you get a belt.
Yeah.
Because that's the award to have.
Yeah.
Not a statue, not a fucking plaque, a fucking championship belt.
Belt with a film reel in the middle of it. Just a massive fucking that championship belt.
Fantastic.
And then when you win, you can challenge any filmmaker who will accept the challenge.
That would be fucking awesome. That is like, a great ass idea.
James Cameron, I'm calling you out.
Do it.
Peter Jackson.
Do it, Michael Mann.
I want you.
And only do it in one take. And then he'll do this like Quigley Down Under thing where he said, I didn't say I couldn't do it in one take. I just prefer not to.
Yeah.
Motherfucker!
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be, it would be rad. It would be fucking great, but it would require too much fun. And I don't think any studio would get behind it. But that's the beauty of it is these guys have enough that they could pony that kind of cash into it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
If I were a crazy billionaire, that's the kind of harebrained scheme that I would finance.
Yeah. Oh,
that and a real Cannonball Run.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Fantastic.
I want to. What do you have here? Because I'm going to start busting into my music list.
We got ourselves a little thing. Because when you asked me about this vanity project, I said, well, are we going to do all vanity projects or just Kevin Costner? Dances with Wolves, I'll let that slide.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll let it slide.
Because that was a huge gamble.
I won't let The Postman slide.
No.
Not a bit.
No.
Not a bit.
Another one. I left the theater thinking I had to have liked that. I had to have liked that. Because in the back of my head, it's just not that bad.
For a bigger fiasco, you could say Waterworld.
Yeah.
But The Postman... Waterworld sucked, but you kind of thought, well, there's nothing else that could happen here except what we got.
Right.
The Postman could have been a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's a cool, what about to say cool idea? It has some cool ideas in it.
Yeah, yeah. But boy, it just does. Talk about not sticking a landing. Because he does not stick the fucking landing on that
Broke
one.
Both ankles.
Yes, he did. You know who didn't break any ankles? Which I'm surprised because he was schlinging so much long in that.
Fucking
Robbie Van Winkle should have fucking busted every bone in his body with the moves he dropped in Cool as Ice. Because that movie is fucking awesome.
Sling a schlong.
I remember watching that. Wasn't Mark there?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Mark got so upset at him jumping the fence and scaring the horse, because he's like, man, that's how Chris Reeve got paralyzed. That's dangerous, man.
That's dangerous.
That's just dangerous.
Drop that zero and get with the hero.
Everybody, whoop. Like, there is so many for DJ Scratch shit to change scenes. The license plate from State of Mind.
Sling a schlong.
Did you slow that down?
No.
I'm going to go over there and sling a schlong. The best.
That's dopey sounding.
The best knock on a door ever. He literally walks up to the door and goes, that's it. But punches it.
Oh, he punches it. That's right.
Once. That's
how you used to knock on my door for like at least a year.
Boom. Yep. I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you really did.
Boom.
Drop that zero and give it the hero.
What?
I can't help myself.
Yeah. Consider a song like Slap the Fool, which you mentioned by the group Dub Shack, which touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
Also,
it's the best.
It really is. But there is now a riff track for Cool as Ice.
Oh, of course.
Which, of course, yes.
Put that shit in the theater.
Fucking, oh, hell yeah. Simulcast that bitch. I will be there in a heartbeat. There are so many people like, I understand it's a remake of Rebel Without a Cause. No, it's not.
What?
There is absolutely no, there was no accountant on the run from the mob.
No.
In that movie.
No.
There was,
Woo, not at all.
There's only one.
I want maraschino cherries on everything.
There's only one musician's movie that I think is a bigger vanity project than that. And I'm including all of Prince's movies.
Okay.
Because Prince, but there's,
I'd say,
because I can beat every musician vanity
I've
film
got a brace of, with they one go together word. For me, but go ahead.
Moonwalker.
Correct.
Boom!
Slash
yeah.
Captain EO.
Oh, God, yeah. I haven't seen Captain EO because I haven't done the 3D thing. I had seen the 3D movie they had before that at Epcot. And this was back in, you know, 85.
Right.
86, that time. It was this bananas fucking French dream, but it was a nightmare. It was fucking awful. Oh, God, it was so weird. So I remember it was just weird French shit happening.
Right.
But yeah, Captain EO, Moonwalker.
What?
Not a terrible movie, but you want to talk about a vanity project like a motherfucker.
It really is.
If
it were a double feature of vanity projects, Captain EO would be before Moonwalker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Captain EO is pretty... pretty there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It didn't have a giant statue.
Yeah, but the only thing that Captain EO's got going for it is that the 3D theater that's designed for 3D so that it's got, you know, shit literally jumping off the screen and going over your head is kind of dope.
It was so weird to go back to Disneyland, well, go to Disneyland
right.
at all and see that it was a big attraction there by Space Mountain. You uh-huh. can see Captain EO. And all these kids were really into the throwback aspect of Captain EO with their neon wayfarers and their hula hoops and their Dan Fogelberg. Yeah. Really excited to watch Captain EO, where I remember wanting to see it when I was a kid, never got to.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would have had the same affection for it, but as a grown-ass man, oh my, what a waste of time.
It's fun. I love 80s nostalgia just because it's that. I had this girl in one of my classes like, oh, I love the 80s. The clothes are so much cooler. It's like, nobody in the 80s dresses the way you think they did.
No,
maybe they have like something with neon on it. But no, they didn't
usually
dress
not.
Like that.
Usually
they,
it's off-white British knights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. I can't wait for there to be this nostalgia wave for the 90s so that I can finally bust out all of my fucking Eddie Bauer plaid shirts and my all of those badass plaid shirts that I used to rock all the time.
That would be awesome.
Because I was the ultimate 90s guy back then.
So many Doc Martens.
Oh, yeah. So many Doc Martens. Always had the shorts with the overalls on. Not the overalls, with the... The fucking long underwear, the long johns on underneath them. That was me. That was
Get
me
the
all the
strike
fucking
going on.
Time. Oh, yeah.
I need to dress like Jeff Ament.
Yes.
That's what I need to do.
Yeah, that was
Have
me.
Have an undercut. I'm going to do that. I'll grow my hair back out with an undercut.
Yeah.
Get a Yaga cap.
Yaga. Maybe some Stussy.
Yeah.
No fear gear.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the stuff.
Dude, that shit back in those days. But yeah, every Prince film counts as a vanity project. Even if vanity wasn't in them, just
burn
under
the cherry moon.
Yeah. Did you see Chris D'Elia posted a vine that he called the most confusing sequence of shots in cinema history? Or I got to find exactly what it is, because it's from Purple Rain, where it starts out with Prince stopping his father from slapping his mother and then immediately cuts to him just bam! I think it's vanity right across the face. Like, holy shit. You're right. That does not make sense.
Doesn't make a bit of sense.
No. I have only seen Purple Rain once, and all that I remember from it is, I want to be a mountaineer.
That's it?
Yeah. The performance of Purple Rain, because I never realized how great that song was.
Still don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I really like it. Prince writes some good songs. And that motherfucker can play.
I don't think
they're
bad songs.
Yeah, yeah. They're just
not my thing.
Yeah. And that motherfucker plays the ass off of a guitar.
That I
People
can agree
forget
with.
That he is a goddamn virtuoso. He's not like Steve Vai virtuoso.
No, he's not a witch.
That little guy can play, yeah. Little Italian virtuoso. Yes. Now, let's see here. I am crossing off Steven Seagal's music, all that.
Oh, God. Speaking of musicians, I almost let this slip by us. Beyond the Sea. Not a musician, but about a musician.
Ba-boom.
Yep, there it is.
Kevin Spacey really likes Bobby Darin.
He really does.
And he wanted, like, that was the fucking, I love Brian Piccolo, and I'm asking you to love him too. I love Bobby Darin. I want you to love him too. He really wanted us to fucking love Bobby Darin.
And Kate Bosworth.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because that was another one of those, little old for this, aren't you? Aren't you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Didn't he die, like... decades before your age now. He was a pretty young dude, wasn't he? He died in his 20s or 30s or something?
I think so. I don't know.
Very young.
I don't
know.
I never saw it, so that was. Yeah. But yeah, because Kevin, that was Kevin pushing all his chips in and saying, I want to do this.
I want to do this. I need to make this move and jump again.
Well, and the fact that he had enough clout, not just to get it made, but then to get it major theatrical release. Because that's the sort of thing that I can see a celebrity getting made and then going, well, Blockbuster will carry a lot of these.
Yes.
But no.
Odd.
No.
Odd.
Now, I'm going to go. Okay. Bruce Willis, Eddie Murphy, Russell Crowe, and Shaquille O'Neal's music careers.
Mm.
I think those kind of count as it's a little bit of vanity.
Right? I would say for shiz with Bruce Willis.
Because
not only did he have a project where it was his own music and band, but it was a form of music and a style of music that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah. Bruno.
They just don't. It's,
I'm Bruno. I play harmonica, and we're doing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe in a different time that it works, but that guy was doing it in the heart, nay, in the fucking face of a typhoon of other styles pushing against it.
Yeah.
And he was just saying, no.
No, this is Bruno,
and I'm going to play this harmonica because this is important.
There's only one thing that I remember from his musical career, and I'm a little bit, you can complete it. Seagrams, golden wine coolers.
Oh, God. No.
You remember the rest of
no,
it?
No, I don't, actually.
It's wet and it's dry. My.
No.
That's it. I remember that exactly.
Oh,
I remember exactly.
Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Bruce Willis sang the blues for wine coolers.
Remember when they used to sell wine coolers? They still do.
They still do. But remember when people used to buy wine coolers?
Yes. They don't make giant television ads.
No, they don't.
It's not some kindly old, friendly old farts.
Yeah. I'm Ed Bottles. You remember? I'm Frank Bottles. You remember Ed?
Oh, man.
It's. I think that right now it's...
Thank you for your support.
It's like having wine coolers in a place is sort of like gas stations that still carry really hardcore porn magazines. They know there's somebody who is going to swallow enough shame to actually purchase it in public.
I'll take that club along with this beef jerky.
I'll take these beef jerkies, this kiwi...
Pack of cools, this kiwi strawberry Snapple, and a copy of Club.
Oh, man.
How was I so descriptive?
Like some of these wine coolers, you know, strawberry mango fuzz,
or some Mike's Hard Lemonade, also known as Pedifuel.
Arrested Development, the episodes that came back, they have to entrap a predator is a show they have on there, and the bait house just stocked with Mike's Hard Lemonade, fucking stocked with it.
Ugh.
It's so great.
Alcoholic Snapple.
Yeah. Yep. Eddie Murphy. The only reason I wrote this down is because My Girl Wants to Party All the Time is on the soundtrack to Grand Theft Auto V, so it'll pop up on your car radio once in a while. Also, I never realized how fucking stupid the song My War is until I started listening to it because it pops up on the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
You say that you're my friend.
I love that song.
It's really one where he just sort of screams one of them a lot.
Yes.
I might not know what a friend is. All I know is what you're not, because you're one of them. And it's one that you step back and you're just starting to see, you know.
Of course.
I'm starting to see all those fucking poety letters that I'd end with Counting Crows lyrics. And you're starting to see envelopes with.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still love that song, though.
I know. But it's one that you kind of listen to, like, really? Wow, you're very serious about this, aren't you? Russell Crowe's band.
Oh, my God.
I saw them live at Stubbs. And my first thought was, if this was Tuesday night at Joe's Generic Bar, I would be very happy with this band. But it is a sold out crowd at Stubbs. I am not interested.
They shave their heads to symbolize that they have been defecated on.
Well, he was in Romper Stomp.
Yeah, he was. That's a good point. Now, here's the thing. There are two musicians that I'm going to throw vanity projects here on because there's the concept of this is so stupid. Chris Gaines.
Oh, my God.
You remember when Garth Brooks did that?
Oh. Yes, I do. That is one of those moments in time where you just stare at it.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. You can't stop staring at it. In fact, if you live through that, if you're old enough to remember all that when it happened, you're doing the same thing I'm doing right now. You're just transfixed by the memory of that weird fucking video with him and that wig and everything moving behind him.
Yeah.
And he was it was a soundtrack to a film that had yet to be made.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Here's
it's like calling yourself a writer when you haven't written anything.
Yeah. Here's what I remember about that. He appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Hosted it with musical guest Chris Gaines.
Yes. Here's Uncle Fester with a wig on.
Yeah, he has got a lot of... Garth Brooks is a fucking brilliant guest to have on stuff because he's down for fucking anything.
Sure.
It's like he made... Tracy Morgan. I always stumble. Is it Morgan or Jordan? It's Tracy Morgan.
Right.
He had a thing where it was like a behind the scenes where it's him talking to Garth Brooks as he walks by, and he just starts bagging on Chris Gaines. Like, you see that guy? You just know he's smoking meat cigars. And Lorne Michaels is like, excuse me, Tracy, hold on a minute. And he just keeps bagging on him. Excuse me, Tracy. And he turns around, looks at Lorne, and goes, can't you see I'm talking to the host? Now go get me a sandwich, bitch. And Lauren leaves. But he just rips him apart, and Garth just has this horrified look. And he is saying what everybody thinks, the Chris Gaines idiot, blah, blah. And he walks away, and Lauren walks up. He's like, you know that he is Chris Gaines. Oh, yeah, I knew that. But the fact that he admitted right after it came out, like, I've got to do press on this, I immediately regret this decision.
Well, at least you know.
The only one better was apparently Beyonce had an alter ego named Sasha Fierce.
I heard of this. Yeah. She was the one with the robot glove?
Probably. Let's stop for a moment and just say an adult who is not a pornographic film actress said, Sasha Fierce, call me that.
Sounds good.
I choose you. This
Sasha
name.
Gray.
No, Sasha Fierce. But you already have a successful career. Sasha Fierce. Now, have you ever heard Shaquille O'Neal rap?
Have I heard Shaquille O'Neal
rap?
Do some raps and do it all the time. I think so. You want to fight? Come fight me. I hit you with the wild. Get dirty at the dark. Got you like Spielberg. You get your ass to get in the park. He's not good at it.
I still remember reading something about he started doing these roasts of people, mm-hmm. and he was the first one to get roasted on it. And Jimmy Kimmel came out at one point. And he's like, "You're starting to rap, Shaq. You can barely talk."
Wow.
Well played, sir. But yes, that blows my mind.
It's true.
Blows my mind.
It's true. Show of hands out there. How many people have seen Falling from Grace? With John Mellencamp.
I have not.
Not only did he star in it, but he said, I can be the lead and I can direct it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was like when Fred Durst out of nowhere directed some movie. It popped
yeah,
up
heard
on
about
Netflix
that.
Where I don't get this.
Yeah.
I get giving him like, we'll let you, we'll take your script. We'll direct your script. We'll put you in the movie. But say, it's yours, baby.
It is so boring.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
Yeah. It looks, from what I recollect of it, it was like when Pure Country came out. George Strait was like, I'm being on.
Okay. Right. That's a good point of reference. There's more going on in Pure Country.
A movie about essentially nothing.
Yeah. After Dusty leaves his life behind.
Right.
And goes back to find his roots.
Wow.
He cut off that little ponytail, let's call it, and shave his face down and put on some new Wranglers and go into the bar to order a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it on the counter and walk off.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen this film a couple of times.
Right on.
There's more going on in Pure Country than any second of Falling from Grace.
See, here's what gets me about that. Mellencamp and Strait, both guys write some fucking great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Huge stars. That's, you got to add something to that. You're not happy with that.
I guess they figured, I might as well do this too.
Yeah.
While I'm at it. just to have it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, I can't really fault them now that I think of it. Because all I'm thinking of is like, listen, you know, running through my mind the George Strait songs I know. You know, I'd like to have that one back. Amarillo by Morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Amarillo by Morning is such a fucking great song. It's like
just my favorite.
Play that thing forever, dude. The rest of your fucking life, just play that. And, you know, trying to explain when we were, I was going through Europe, somebody had that on a mix and it came on. They're like, you know, what Amarillo by Morning? What's that? It's like, okay, the fact that somebody is longing for the trip to Amarillo.
Yeah.
Let you know how desperately they want to go to Amarillo.
That's a country song.
Because what's around Amarillo?
Dick.
Nothing at all but sadness.
Feed yards.
And feed yards. Nothing.
And dick.
So driving from San Antonio to Amarillo takes what?
A long time.
Like 8 hours, 9 hours?
Every bit of 9 to 10 hours.
Trying to describe driving places in Texas to people who aren't from Texas, they don't get it. It's like, okay, Clarkson, if I gave you a choice between having to cut off half of one of your fingers or drive to Lubbock.
Which one?
Like, yeah.
I think left pinky.
Left pinky? Yeah, see? That's how bad this is. If I said, okay, I'm either going to rip one of your teeth out with pliers right now or you have to drive to Amarillo.
It's back when?
Yeah, back when can go, yeah.
Trouble.
Because there are some, like, it was funny, Bill Burr talks about how, everyone talks about how the drive from San Antonio to El Paso is so boring and it's so terrible. He's like, I thought it was gorgeous. And like, I can imagine if you grew up in a city,
yeah,
it would be amazing. But when you grow up and, like, the fucking view from my apartment is just the entrance to the Texas Hill Country. What I see literally every day when I leave and return home is a view that people would spend millions of dollars on.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. So driving over these things does nothing for me.
Driving El Paso is actually pretty scenic.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's relatively scenic.
Relatively.
Here to Lubbock, there is nothing, man. It is just a sea of highway.
Yeah.
And I don't mean even in a romantic, like on the way to Vegas kind of way.
No,
mean, it's just kind of gray.
Yeah.
Like stop nothing.
Like Nebraska.
It's just kind of... that.
Yeah. Driving to Houston, same thing. Like driving,
sort of.
Yeah. Driving up to Dallas, even though, you know, there's a lot of city there, you do hit a lot of cool areas where there's just old towns that are awesome and there's massive expanses of nothing. Yeah. It's fucking great. But yeah, that.
Yeah.
So when you've got somebody like, you know, John Mellencamp, where it's like, dude, just go out and play Blood on the Fucking Scarecrow. Go out and play,
play,
you know,
that, 'cause that's
play
the shit.
Just Another Day. Play, you know, all the, any of those songs. But come on, man. And get your daddy to come pick up the trash.
Daddy ain't got some trash to come pick this up.
Every time I hear John Mellencamp, I just think of Kevin from The Office. If anyone ever offers you 1,000-to-1 odds, take the bet. If John Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I am going to be a very wealthy man.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, that shit, we're like, really? Why the fuck are you doing this?
It was bizarre.
The invention of lying strikes me as very much a vanity project because it's an interesting concept, but what it is then used for is so self-serving because basically it's a world, it starts with a fucking voiceover that is totally unnecessary. It's like, it's a world where nobody can lie. We just can't. Nobody is able to lie. And there are ads where it's like, buy Coke. I think it's a good product. There are a lot of other products that are like it, but we really hope that you'd buy ours. And he takes a drink. He's like, a bit sweet. But everyone's honest. And then one day, he's able to lie. It's like something switches in his brain, and he's able to lie. Like he goes to the bank, and he's out of money. He's like, no, but I just deposited $1,000. And the woman's like, oh, well, all right. And then he goes to visit his mother in the hospital who's dying, and she's like, I'm scared. And he's like, no, it's okay. When you die, there's this amazing place that you can go, that you'll go to, where you'll be happy forever, and it turns into the invention of religion.
Okay,
and it's very much Ricky Gervais is the evangelical atheist who is like, you know, feels the need to put, and so
no
the
problem
whole,
there. Everyone wants to hear your opinion on everything.
Yes,
you didn't know that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But whether you're religious or atheist or agnostic or whatever flavor you have, any opinion or idea you have on anything,
everyone wants to hear it.
People want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you even disrespect their ideas, people need to hear that you disrespect their ideas because respecting the person, and you don't have to respect their ideas, but you could probably keep your fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of went the other way on that, didn't I?
It's like the I know, that was clever of you. Like the amount of time we've been on the air, we've barely ever talked about our politics.
No.
Because we don't care. We don't want you to know. What the fuck do we want to
care?
But the fact that it like had to go into that direction, it was just like, okay, we get it. You're so...
Got it.
Blah, 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 blah. And that, super to me, smart. Is what made it a vanity project. Because there's ways it could have been played with and been a lot more fun and just not as... Okay,
well,
yes.
The idea is pretty fucking thin to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot like Liar, Liar, where that idea gets pretty thin pretty quick. It's a cool idea if you're just sitting around.
Right.
Maybe an interesting short story.
A short film, short story. Like,
short
honestly,
film.
You do it as a 30-minute film, that could be great. Either one of them is a 30-minute film. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Things are going to get thin real quick,
uh-huh.
Unlike the Brown Bunny, which is solid all the way through to the blowjob.
Yeah. But no, it's just the shadow. She doesn't actually do that. It's just the shadow. Oh no, I've seen that. Yeah. But here's the thing: is that scene something to get you one step closer to paradise?
Oh, I'd say so.
Paradise Alley. Does that count as a vanity project?
That's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
Most of his projects are vanity projects. So.
Yeah. Dick Tracy. Is that a vanity project?
Funny thing about Dick Tracy.
Yes.
A lot of people look back on that film with a certain amount of enjoyment.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it sucks, necessarily.
I'm just saying.
I just don't.
Yeah. I am not picking up what is being put down.
No savvy.
No savvy, yo. Not at all.
Sorry. But, probably. Probably.
Sort of like Ishtar. I've tried to watch that thing so many fucking times. Here's the thing that kills me. I've never made it more than like 20 minutes through that movie, but I can look you in the eye and I can say, Clarkson, telling the truth can be dangerous business. Honest and popular don't go hand in hand. If you admit that you can play the accordion, you won't get asked to join a rock and roll band. I don't know how I've tried to watch that movie twice in like 1997.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that. Fucking Long Division. No.
Who needs that?
Useful. No.
No.
Weird. And where I parked my car, I have no
idea. No idea. But I know this.
Yes.
Bizarre. That is bizarre. That is bizarre as Richard Gere in the, what is it, the Mothman?
Oh, Mothman Prophecies. Yeah.
That's another one.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Who are you people?
Who are you?
Who are you people? Who made this happen?
What?
Yeah, it was
one. What kind of powerful black magic? Got this script greenlit, and B got Richard Gere. What was he doing? Was there blackmail involved?
I don't know.
Is that gerbil thing true?
Yeah, what happened there?
What? Have you seen this thing?
Send thoughts.
This is up there with falling from grace. You're like, what?
I haven't seen it because it looked.
How did that happen?
It was one where I read the reviews of it, and they were like, "Oh, the Mothman is this," and I'm like, "That's not going to make a good movie." It just stopped. I'm not going to watch that.
And it's not even a vanity project. In fact, I don't even know why I brought it up other than it's just so goddamn weird.
It's fun.
It's so
fun to talk about that.
That happened. That happened.
Yeah, it did happen.
Richard fucking Gere was in that movie about that
thing.
Obvious horseshit.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm the kid who wants to believe everything.
Right.
Everything.
Yes.
What the fuck?
There is one vanity project here that I can recollect someone at one point saying, I kind of love it.
Oh, fuck yes. I remember this.
Uh-huh.
Lady in the Water.
Yeah, Lady in the Water, yeah.
What kind of serious drug problem did I have? I remember that. I remember I had a story that was similar to it. And so I thought, oh, yeah, I kind of get it. This would look like it's fleshed out. Oh, thank God it really wasn't.
Yeah. I think that was back in the crazy drinking days.
Oh, yeah. Crazy drinking sad days.
What's so weird about looking back at that is, like, of all the times in my life of going out and partying, getting nothing compared to the sitting in your apartment.
No.
And just, let's
Searing
do some
the
more
sad
shots.
Vortex.
Yeah.
And shots of fucking Michael Collins.
Yeah.
What is it, 4 in the afternoon?
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's watch Lady in the Water. What the fuck?
Let's paint a picture of sadness. I'd finish my job substitute teaching and go directly to your house. And I'd stop and get Wendy's and go directly to your place. Oh. And we would sit there and drink between 25 and 30 beers each.
picture perfect. I paint a picture, bomb the hoochies with precision. Ain't nothing but a gangster party.
It really was.
So not nice.
And yeah, the Michael Collins, that actually needs to be the first whiskey drink in the new homes when we move. It needs to be some Michael Collins just to fucking cauterize it.
Not either one of the fine scotches to your right.
No, not that. Michael Collins.
Holy God.
The Catholicest whiskey in the world. Yeah, the Lady in the Water. I remember I got a little ways into it. Like, I'm going home.
Fucking awful.
And then the next I talked to you, the next day, you're like,
I kind of love it. Drink out of my fucking mind.
I just readdressed my mess shirt.
Oh my God.
That was like when you fucking face planted. You were not even that drunk.
No.
And yet it still fucking worked for you. The face plant was still the greatest goddamn moment ever just because you held your position for so long.
I'm good like that.
Absolutely blew my mind. How's about glitter?
Oh, it's on my list.
Yes, that was. I remember when you were like, what was it? Banana split my Dairy Queen Butterfinger my tangerine.
Butterfinger my tangerine.
I was like, how the fuck do you know those words? You're like, I just know them. I know things. I don't know what to tell you.
I need that drop. Oh, my God. That is up there with Can I Smell Your Dick?
Oh, man.
So objectively bad.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Really genuinely is.
Really is. She had no fucking business.
I just love whenever Howard Stern talks about Mariah Carey. It's just like, you know, Oprah opened her school for girls. There's this person, this, and Mariah Carey is there in a bikini.
Pretty much.
Why wouldn't she be? Ocean's 12.
Yes.
Ocean's 11 and 13. Ocean's 11 was awesome and fun.
Yeah,
it was fun. 13 was an apology. Ocean's 12, that was a fucking van. That was, we want to hang out again.
Yeah, that was fun. Like Ghostbusters 2. We had a good time doing the first one. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
How's the story?
The what now? We made this happen. Yeah, God.
It's cool.
I only have one vanity project left, and it is, I think it's the holy grail of film vanity projects.
What's that?
The Day the Clown Cried.
Oh, how did I miss that?
That thing is the fucking. Now, for those who are unawares, Jerry Lewis. Wrote, directed everything. A movie about a clown who entertains Jewish children being taken to the gas chamber at Auschwitz.
Like you do.
And surprisingly, didn't play.
No.
Surprisingly, people didn't clamor for it.
Did not go over well.
It was viewed with more, really? Than, it's about time, Mr. Lewis.
Yes. That's what we needed.
Played more. Curious. What? Why particularly did you think people wanted to see this movie?
How many people have seen that? Didn't Harry Shearer?
Harry Shearer saw it. It's a lot of people like to compare it to Life is Beautiful, but the thing is, I can justify Life is Beautiful. I liked that when it was new. I fucking loved it when it was new.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would still love it if I watched it again because it is a very touching story. And pulled all the PC shit aside, it is about this, you know, there is a very solid message to it.
Right.
The Day the Clown Cried just sounds like Jerry Lee. Somebody said to Jerry Lewis, like, yeah, I think Jerry Lee Lewis has more balls than you. Oh, really? You want to see balls, motherfucker?
I'll show you.
Yeah.
I don't embrace excuses. I embrace solutions.
You'll see.
I'm very proud of you for that.
Yes, have some.
I would love to see this. But it is one of those that maybe after Jerry Lewis dies.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Eventually, we're going to get to see this.
I'm listing a hypothetical. The world would be done a favor if someone were to break into Jerry Lewis's house, crack the vault, and just take a copy of it and digitize it just once. Digitize it, put it out on the internet. Because once it hits the internet, it lives forever.
That's right.
So that might be interesting. Yeah. I'm not suggesting it. I'm saying I think it would be great, but I'm not suggesting someone actually do it.
Yes. No.
No. No. Yes. Yes. But yes. But no, but yes. But this, but yeah. Not this, but this, but that, but do it, but don't, but do it.
Yeah, do that.
So, that's fun.
Absolutely terrible.
I think that covers everything.
I think so.
God. Vanity Project, if we missed something, email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com or call us at the_film_thugs on Skype.
Skype.
On Skype. Or call us on the call us on the telephone at area code 512-666-RANT. I'm not going to spell it out for you because you people can do that yourselves.
We're
at thefilmthugs.com, where if you like t-shirts or shit from Amazon.com or weightlifting supplies and supplements, you can get all of that shit by going through our site.
You can.
Additionally, what else? Oh, yeah, Twitter, The Film Thugs.
Yeah.
Facebook, thugquestions@gmail.com is a good place for you to send questions that you would like us to answer on a forthcoming episode.
Indeed.
Is there anything else?
Okay. You people sit tight, hold the fort, and keep the home fires burning. And if we're not back by dawn, call the president.